This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
Start off hard and just go down the rabbit hole the wrong way we shouldn't. Let's do it.
Start pissing people off at the very beginning.
Why not? I mean, I was looking at some stuff because I guess it kind of like jumped in my head also at the same time we kind of started talking about it because I was, you know, driving and Instagram reeling at the same time when it shouldn't be. But like a little clip of Joe Rogan came up. I like his podcast. He's got a lot of cool stuff. He was talking to some lady, actually. I don't remember her name. Let me look it up. But she was she's like some Abigail Schreer. She wrote a book. What's the name of the book? Dang it. Hang on. The name of the book is
Well Prepared.
The name of the book is like something about like when you do stuff to kids, you can't take it back, basically. Like, when, right. You know, like, and the whole, and what they were talking about was this whole transgender ideology and a lot of the stuff they're discussing and emotions and emotional this and emotional that and explaining all these intimate details about mental illness and, you know, kids with overindulgence in ADHD medication, ADHD this, ADHD that, and you know, behavioral disorders, and then always pushing them to every therapist on earth and every therapist on earth. And what one of her topics that she was talking about is how the therapist is the one that goes down the rabbit hole, not necessarily parents, because the therapist is, you know, somebody with a position of authority, so they push this intense knowledge that they have from all this studying on these parents, and they drag them down a rabbit hole, you know, causing them. And then the end game is, oh, well, maybe they're just concerned about their gender. Maybe you ever try transgenderism or something like that? And then they just go down this rabbit hole and they push it. Her book is primarily about females, pushing the ideology on females rather than boys so much. Because most boys, what she talks about is most boys deal with that when they're young. And they get to a certain age and they're like, that's dumb. And they move on, right? You know what I mean? Most girls go down that rabbit hole and then they get into the teen years and they're like, my body, you know, and then so on and so forth and stuff like that. And she was saying that one of the biggest culprits to the issue is constantly talking about it. You know, when you send your kid to therapy, to constantly talk about the same thing over and over and over and over, it just inseminates and just builds more and more and more in their brain, making them thinking about it more, causing it to be worse. You know, right. I'll look up the book real quick. It's pretty interesting. I actually want to add it to my list.
So, Nate, I mean, while Mr. Pancake is looking that up, you're obviously very much on the same page about, from our conversation before we even started recording this, as we are about transgenderism. It's, you know, if you're an adult, you're more apt to do whatever you want. If I agree with you or not, you're an adult. Be happy to do whatever you want. Leave me and my family. Your stance sounds like you're on the same page where, I mean, you're very big into big dad energy, you said, into fathers and religion being hand in hand. And again, this transgenderism thing on kids, what you do is not reversible. You want to dive in a bit of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, dude, first of all, I mean, let's just say what it is, right? It's backwards. Okay. It's completely backwards, and it's how you end civilizations, right? There's no progeny moving forwards. Population control dwindles down, contributors to society go down, and you have this woke mob of people who pick the ideology that they want to get behind at the current popular time. There's really no stance on these issues. It's just, oh, let's talk about being for Palestine. Let's talk about being pro-transgenderism. Let's talk about Antifa or BLM. And it's these different button topics that the world wants us divided on that are just completely backwards. And there's so many of us that are like, it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. It's stupid, right? It's stupid. And so that's why, dude, I just refuse to play. when COVID came down and they're like, lock down, shut it down, take the shot, I just don't play the game. I'm not involved.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not taking your shot. I'm not doing what you want me to do. It's this counterintuitive. I stab my flag in the ground and decide that I'm not going to play the game that they're asking me to play. And guys, much of that stems from my faith. So when we talk about transgenderism, I do believe that a Genesis account of creation exists and that a woman and man were made for the purpose of reproduction, right?
Right.
For this yeah. specific purpose. It just makes sense, dude. Scientifically, it makes sense, right?
Right.
Biologically, we're designed that way. When you start doing things backwards, what is the reason why, right? What is the reason why there's this attempt to thwart the natural order of things? To where guys like me and guys like you and maybe even some of these other guys on major podcasts would say, it doesn't make sense to me. What they're asking me to do, it doesn't make sense. And we're going away from common sense into an ideology woke stance. I refuse. Pirate flag flies in the front of my house right now, dude. It doesn't, it's not because I like Jack Sparrow or the Jolly Roger, but it's because I refuse, right? I refuse to fly the flag of the culture, and I fly the flag that God's called me to call.
Which makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Irreversible Damage.
The book's called
Irreversible Damage from Abigail Schreier. Yeah. I'm the same way. Absolutely. I mean, when people like, it's come to my work and stuff, and you know, there's not too much of it at work at my company because my company's Department of Defense, but there's a lot of other sometimes it does, and sometimes we have to do the training and stuff, and I just don't do it. I just don't do the training. Like, cool, don't care. And then I've seen it come up in like other topics like around town and stuff, and like we've been to the public library. And the county that I live in is extremely conservative. It's like so much so they wanted to name like one of the roads like Donald Trump Road. You know what I mean? I love it. It's awesome. But there are liberals such as everywhere else, such as life. I mean, in a way we do need them. You know, there has to be the opposite topic on everything. Has to be a 50-50 with everything. But they go to the public library. And there's a book in the kids section talking about transgender this and your kids that and why are my parents a boy and a boy or a girl and a girl and their parents are not, stuff like that. And I go to grab it. My wife's like, oh, no, just ignore it. Just ignore it. I'm like, no, F that. No, that's not for kids. And I took it up to the front. I'm like, hello. Yeah, this isn't okay. I want that off the shelves. Oh, well, we can't do that. Well, sorry, but this isn't your library. It's mine. I pay taxes. So take it off the shelf. Goodbye. That doesn't go there. And they were like, well, we can't do that. Well, I was like, all right, I just threw it in the trash. Well, there you go. See you later. Garbage. It's just not a game that I play. It just, you want to be gay. You want to be transgender. You want to, I don't know. Showboating someone else's mud. Fine. Have a great time. It's not for me. But when it comes to children, this is where your life will end. I'm sorry. You will not do that to my child.
Right.
If I can stop it, anybody else's child. It's terrible. It's wretched and it's disgusting. Children don't deserve that. If they want to be gay when they get older, fine, great. Nobody cares. Whatever. I don't care what you do in your life. But just don't do it to my kid.
That's the big thing is, and I think that's where a lot of this argument comes down to is all three of us are pretty much on the same page. If whatever you do as an adult, it's your life to destroy. It's your life to do what you want to.
Right.
Right.
Have a great time.
We all make our own choices. And, I've told people that even question me about religion and God and all this. And I use a simple theory that I've heard a long time ago that, I rather believe in God because I went through my atheist stage and, questioning everything and going through, the one thing that kept coming to my mind was it's better to believe in God and be wrong and not believe in God and find out that I was wrong. Because if I was wrong and didn't believe it, didn't follow the teachings, then my alternative is hell. And, we're all given that opportunity to make a choice of what we want to believe, what we want to do. And, I'm no saint. I have tattoos. I have all sorts of things. I've heard people tell me how tattoos are against religion, against God's preaching. I've never found it in the book, but people try to skew the religion. I mean, even look at it, transgenderism, the leftists, and I've made this clear. I do, after listening to several conversations, listening to multiple debates, I do hold leftists and liberals differently. A classic liberal is somebody I can talk with.
Yeah.
A leftist, right. I don't even bother with. So basically, there's the fact of you have to basically make your choices, and wherever your chips lay, because I'm making sure my family and I know where we're going, and if we're wrong and say all this is for naught, that it just becomes one big black screen at the end and nothing comes, then I made a mistake and I'm out nothing. But I'm not going to let my kids be exposed and manipulated and changed to something that's going to lead them to a world where they're not going to be with me if I'm right, and heaven and hell exist, because I want my family to be with me. As a father, that's my responsibility to make sure of I lead my kids to where they are with me even after the end of time.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of, have you ever seen that? It's like, God, I can't think of the name again. I mean, we're not going to find it here, but you ever seen those clips on the internet? They're called Bad Man. It's Batman being bad. He says like naughty stuff. It's hilarious. It's a comedian. He's super funny. He says some pretty raunchy stuff, but he's also like a Christian and stuff, and he talks about that exact topic. He's like, so the theory of an atheist is it's nothing, but then you complain that God is really not real, and so your argument to argue against nothing is nothing. So
yeah, I've heard that.
He goes into it pretty deep. It's pretty interesting. I would suggest.
Yeah, dude, Christianity, it changed my life. You know, there's I wouldn't have any of the basis points for my family, for my fitness, for my faith, for my creed of life outside of the stance of Christianity. It's where all of my disciplines flow from. Every downstream discipline is affected by the primary anchor point of my compass, which I believe points to true north for me. And as men, as fathers, as husbands, as leaders, establishing the true north of your compass is imperative. And there's so many men that are adrift. They're looking to ideology. They're looking to woke society. They're looking to other places to fill the void that these compass points have already supposed to be filled by faith and by religion. And so without that bearing, without that compass point, that needle just wobbles left and right. It goes where it wants, you know, booze, women, pornography, drugs, ideology, woke culture, acceptance, whatever the case may be. It just ticks to these different things. But there's really no bearing on that man's heart of purpose, mission, and compass points. And that's what faith has become to me. So, yes, it is like, hey, I'm escaping hell. And like, yes, I don't want to go to hell. But it also directs my every step. This is how I live my life. Dude, I don't just play this game, right? I don't just be like, I go to church. Yes. Dog, boys, I believe this, right? And it directs my steps. I want to be the furtherance of this kingdom. I want to be the light shining on the hill. I don't want to just be like, I'm in, right? I'm cool. Fire insurance, right? I want to roll forward with this is my mission. And it directs my steps downstream.
Yeah, you know, personally, like I've even mentioned it here, when it comes to churches, it takes a lot for me to even go into a church, just because in my lifetime, in my 44 years, something like that, I've been kicked out of 5 churches before I just stopped going, right? And finally, because of my son, we with homeschooling and all this, we wanted him to be part of a community, something that was going to be continuing on, not just for whatever period of a class. So we found a church and went back, and I even sat there and told my wife, sorry, allergies are making my nose itch. But the thing is going to the church that we're at, it's not just, you have to find a church that, or somebody to listen to that you believe is spreading the right message. Because I looked at a ton of churches, and I've mentioned I live in Northern Virginia, where literally there's churches here that are more focused on going off the pamphlet that they get than ever opening a Bible. And I mean, like, there's churches I called up and said, well, do you read the words in red? And they're like, well, we have a set program we follow. And I'm like, no, that tells me you're going off of what somebody else is telling you to teach, not teaching what the word is telling you to teach. And like my pastor now, he goes off and like I was listening to his, I was actually listening to this week's sermon again, because there's a lot of great information. I'm going to probably post it online just because he talks about leadership, and I found that there's a lot of information in there that is fantastic for fathers to look at. Even if you're not religious, you can use that information. And that's another thing is in the Bible, in religion, in the faith of Christianity, there's tons of information that shows you how to be a better father, not just, and there's, I know I'm ranting, but there's a song, Father of Mine, I think it is, or Father, I forget the name of it, but there's a line in it that says, Jesus, I want to be more like you so that I can teach him how to be a good father. And basically, that's the concept that I find in religion now. And you have to be careful of these churches or so-called churches that are pushing these false narratives, saying that, hey, it's okay. You know, I have people that I'm friends with that are gay, you know, and they're very close family friends that I can think of off the top of my head. I've had friends that were gay when I was younger and all this. They never pushed, well, the one guy did, but he was drunk as can be. And after I said, hey, calm down there, he realized. But generally, the ones that I've known have been pretty straightforward. I don't, like the ones that are family friends, you wouldn't know their orientation unless they told you. And that's fine. Yeah. My kids love them. My kids have no idea that the aunts are aunts, you know what I mean? But they're great people. They're funny as can be. And I've known them for years. And they even agree that churches should not be preaching that religion needs to do transgenderism and accept the gays. I mean, gay marriage, you know, we all spread the message to everyone. If you're gay and you want to come to the church, come to church, listen to the message, and let it guide you. But even God says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and we're created in his image. I mean, these are tentatives of the religion, not to say the church out there. Like, what was it? There's so many churches I keep hearing about now that are saying, oh, well, if you're gay and you're trans and you're a furry and you're all these things in one, you're welcome here. I'm sitting there going, you know, inviting them in is one thing. Getting our message out to people is one thing. But saying you're accepted here and we accept you as you are, I see that as the problem.
Yeah, well, dude, listen, even in your families, not just in your churches, there's got to be an area where you define the lines, right?
Right.
And why are you doing what you're doing, right? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why am I following this road or this path or this preacher? And you bring up a good point, and I wanted to circle back to this. When you talk about the churches that you were selecting from and choosing, guys, you're talking about, dude, I'm from the South, okay? And you can throw a stone and hit a church every place you walk. You walk another 100 yards, throw a stone, you hit another church, okay?
The church properties have churches on them.
That's right. That's right. I've been in part of this world my whole life, and so this question has come up with men more times than not, especially in coaching and guys who have kind of slipped away from the church. It's choosing this church, and they're going to see the pastor, and they're almost sitting there with their arms crossed, and they're like, all right, entertain me, right? Do something to entertain me, pastor. And we lose the whole purpose of us going to church. So I'll ask you guys a question and we can kind of roundtable it. Is how do you teach your children to be contributors to society if they never see you at work? Okay. How do you teach your children to be contributors to society if they never see you at work? And I'll let you table that and discuss it. But one of the reasons I believe we should go to church is for contribution to society. They're going to see me give. They're going to see me shake hands. They're going to see me high five. They're going to see me hug. They're going to see me tithe. They're going to see me love on people that are generally not welcome in my home or not welcome in my street. And I'm seeing them at this assembly, and my kids are seeing me give. They're seeing me contribute to society. And so I might not find the perfect church, but I can go and give away some talents and give away some gifts and contribute to society to better the world, right? And dude, here's the deal. I'll tell it to you like this. If you find the perfect church, don't go because you'll mess it up. Right? Don't go because you're going to mess it up.
That's a good point. I actually I don't go to church at all. Zero. One of the things that, you know, I I like my whole life, my family's been like kind of Catholic, but kind of not, just because, you know, we're Italian blood and all that stuff. So they kind of were always Catholic. And over the years, as a Catholic, the overemphasis on extreme versions of Christianity and religion and pushing too much, and then combined with, you know, living in a larger city with a lot of the negative input from outside sources, kind of drew me away from it. You know what I mean? And I just became, like you said, like an atheist. I never really became an atheist, because in my mind, an atheist is somebody who purposely goes out of their way to reject God. I just didn't care. You know, if that makes sense. I just didn't give two, you know what. So just, no, whatever. Move on. You know, and as life went on, you know, I obviously went into the military and stuff like that. And honestly, I would say when I went into the military is where I actually kind of found more so God. I still never really followed it, but I found that it's real. You know, and not by seeing the good, but by seeing the bad. Like, I literally looked the devil right in the eyes, and then became the devil myself. So it's kind of one of those things where it kind of made you go, oh, and open your eyes to what this is real. This isn't a joke. When I became more into actually following God and God's word and religion and all that stuff, was more so when I had a kid. I still don't really like churches, just simply based on, you know, I mean, there's so many churches out there. There's so many different things. The best church is just a group of friends. You know what I mean? That's to me, that's the best church, because if you're going to a church and then Joel Osteen's like, you know, with his hand out, you know, I'm sorry, pal, you know, no, that's the creepy stuff. You know, that's not a God fearing man. You know, that's the devil. You know, then there's so many versions of that, even in smaller contexts. Every church you go to, they're like, oh, pass around the offering plate, give your money and this and that. And no, sorry. You know, you give money, but it should be 100% voluntary. You want to give your money. They shouldn't be asking or begging. You know, and there's so many variations of that. Whereas they also, like you said, perpetuate their ideologies and so on and so forth beyond religion onto you. You know, is teach you their version or their whatever, so on and so forth. And there's a lot of that to me is just nonsense and garbage. Like, don't do that stuff. You know, we should be following the book, like you said. So to me, I don't do the church. I stay away from it 100%. The school my daughter goes to is a Christian school. But like I said, they're fantastic. They're totally different. They're basically a community school. Of a bunch of like-minded people. So that kind of worked out. That's why it's a unique school. But yeah, it was, I stay away from church altogether just for that.
See, now for me, going to your question, how do I show my kid how to give back to community and all this? For me, I homeschool. So when the shot started, like I worked for a glass company years ago. And one of the things that started coming out was one of the pushing factors that made me go back into the food service design area that I'm back in now. So construction sites were going to start making it mandatory to show a COVID shot card to get in. And I called one of the biggest contractors we dealt with, GCs, and said, hey, you know, if you put this on there, my crews aren't going to be coming on, because unless you accept fake ID, fake cards. They're like, well, why would you even tell me they're fake? I'm like, because I'm honest. And so I basically told him, hey, I'll have to have somebody else's crew go to your site, because none of my crews are getting that shot. I'm not getting the shot. I'll walk onto the site, but the moment you ask me for a proof that I got the jab, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I said, you can kick me off or you can leave me on. And they go, well, let me get back with you. Talking with my boss at the time, he's like, oh, well, I won't mandate it. I won't force anybody, blah, blah, blah. Well, I saw where the cards were going, where everything was leading, and one of the things to avoid getting that shot was I decided you were not forced if you worked from home. So I changed jobs. There's a couple factors besides just that, but I changed jobs where I could work from home. Now, since I've been working from home for the last couple of years, I have my son with me every day. I can take him out into the community. I can take him out and show him. So he sees me working. He's actually sat in a chair next to me while I do conference calls. Mind you, while I do this, he's off playing and doing stuff so that we can have our conversation. Nice thing is today my wife's at home, so with that, it makes it easier to have this call. But in general, it's a fact of, for me, I have my son see community as he goes to church. In some of the classes I sign him up for, like his nature class, he gets to see the community of nature and how people interact with it in that class. I involve him in martial arts so that he can see how discipline is structured and how he needs to use that discipline properly. Now, mind you, he's just starting, but he's actually doing a whole lot better than I expect it to be honest. But it's things like that that I go out of my way, and I'm involved, just like when we do, for homeschooling, when we do researching time, is where I allow him to pull up YouTube videos, and we're researching different topics. Obviously, my son's a huge person in nature, so we're looking at things, we try to focus on things involving nature, how to create terrariums and habitats for animals, how to do all this, just like we went to Home Depot to get a whole bunch of stuff for our plants and what we have going on here. I'm growing a huge wall of rose bushes just to keep people away from my yard because I'm antisocial. I don't know. Oh, I'll admit it. The only people in my neighborhood I talk to is my neighbors across the street, and I think that's partly because they're the only ones willing to talk to me after talking with me a few times. But generally, for me, I build my community. My kids sees my community from how my wife and I interact with other people. Like you said, you go to church, and your sons, your daughter, I don't think you actually said which one, but your kids see you interacting with people in the church. And as right now, my kid's only 6 years old and my daughter's 2 years old. So they don't see the main church and how we all are because they have Sunday school. So that there leaves me to show my kids community by my actions, the way I speak with people. Even when my boss and I are talking, if my son interjects or wants to ask my boss a question, he used to, because I always call my boss John, my son would start calling him John, and I'm like, no. And my boss even said, no, I am Mr. Brown. And I even reminded my son, you call adults by the proper way. So he refers to my boss as Mr. Brown. And it's that whole thing that I teach him respect from where I sit, from being active.
That's from a going respect out. For elders thing.
Right. And I get him involved in different areas that are appropriate for his age, appropriate for him, that lets him build that community and also see that. And he's well aware that his main community, his big community, is family. Outside of family is the secondary community. And he's, at 6 years old, he's already aware of that. He might not vocalize it in that way, but I can see that that is how he perceives it.
Right.
So does that go to where you were thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel like I said, back to the question, how do you teach your kids how to contribute to society without a place like a church? So that's one of the reasons we can go. And you back in the day, they had rotaries, they were on boards, they were out and about, they were social before cell phones.
Right.
They were just out and about contributing to society. And so here's what I'll say. Do you want your children to contribute to society? The answer most dads would say would be yes. How do you teach that? As a dad, how do you teach that? That would mean extracurricular outdoor activity with other people. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
So what we've relegated, we used to have front porches, right? Big front porches. We'd wave to our neighbors. We'd say, hey. Now we have back porches and privacy fences. We close our garage doors. We close ourselves off to the world, and we no longer contribute to those groups or communities or rotaries or things that our grandparents or fathers did. So what we have is an excommunicated role in society where we see the bad of the world and we say, I don't want any part of it. I'm just going to go away. I'm just going to retreat to my cave of isolation, my solitude. Mm-hmm. But do you guys know how many men die from loneliness, right?
Oh, it's huge.
They're complete depression, lack of will to live. Boom. That's it. Kick buckets, right? Mm-hmm. It's a problem. It's a pandemic. It's an issue. How do you counteract that? You go back out into the world. And this is one of the reasons why I do it. I believe that if everyone who had a different ideology of the world stayed at home, the world would never change, right? If we all stayed and did not contribute our viewpoints to make the world better, it would fall into disrepair, and the second law of thermodynamics would kick in. Things left to themselves move towards entropy, to heat death, right? Unless right. acted upon. And so if you and I and we all have a different viewpoint than the world, ought not we jump in and say, whoa, 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 this is not right. right. Let me show you how to contribute change. Let me show you how to affect the world for better. And that's the question that we have to pose to our children. Yes, they're young. Yes, they're small. But they are watching what you do. And acorns do not fall far from trees, right?
Right. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of the stuff. I mean, like how you were saying, how do you teach your kid to be in society without the church? You know, just, I mean, I'm the perfect example because I don't go to church and we don't bring our family to church, you know. So at my daughter's age, I mean, she's five. So for the most part, it's general behavioral stuff, you know, respect for elders, respect for authorities, how to act, things in public and things like that as well. You know, that's the primary for the most part, just because it's her age. But we also, my wife does it a lot as well as I do it, and push her out into society a little bit. Like she does, she's a girl, so she does dance and stuff like that. We had her in sports a little bit at school. We have a neighbor up the street that is, she's a public school student. You know, and it's not really something I really want her around, but the girl and the family are super nice, and it's a different perspective or point of view or other side of the house, you know, so it's good to put her in there. You learn to share and have friends and stuff like that as well. You know, that's one thing we do. We teach her those little in-depth things, you know, learn to share your orange, you know, those little things that at her age, it seems minuscule, seems dumb, but those are the things, you know, and such as, you know, even simple things such as punishment, you know, when you do something wrong, you get punished or disciplined in some sort of way, depending on the thing that they do wrong. They have to kind of, in a way, learn this is either wrong or incorrect, because not everything is wrong, just maybe incorrect, right? So you can't, you know, if some kid, you know, if my daughter does something incorrect, I don't immediately resort to whack, you know, I don't immediately resort to the backhand. I, you know, I stop her, I remove her from the situation, maybe if it's needed, talk to her about it, explain it, and then I come back into it and try and show her the correct way, and then teach her why, you know. Those type of things are important, you know, to show your kid. And that's how I teach her to, you know, I guess, contribute to society. And as she gets older, obviously there's going to be other ways, you know, different ways, you know, like one of the things that I do, I mean, I started it for her, but now it's kind of turned into a community thing. In a weird way, there's a whole backstory to it. So there's an area of our community that's in like a big empty lot, and some, you know, garbage builder wants to put a bunch of, you know, nonsense on it that's inappropriate for the area. You know, we have all single family homes, and he wants to put like a 5-story low income apartment in the middle of our, you know, nice homes, and it's not nice community, you know. You put that there, you're going to kind of set the tone for the community and kind of maybe not necessarily ruin it, but adjust the situation to what we have. And the whole community doesn't want it. So everyone in my community is a little bit older, not really, you know, either military, so they're in and out, or, you know, they're not really in tune with this type of stuff. So I've accidentally kind of become the community leader for a lot of the neighbors and stuff. And they all come to me and ask questions, and I got a Facebook page for all of us to join on and all this stuff. Long story short. So because of that, a lot of the people that are there, they don't really do anything for Christmas. You know, Christmas is just kind of a whole block of darkness. You know, there's no Christmas lights. There's no nothing. So last couple of years, every day immediately after Christmas, you know, as soon as Christmas is over, all the Christmas lights are like a dollar. So I would go to the store and I would go buy like $300 worth of Christmas lights. And at a third of the price, I'm getting like an enormous amount of Christmas lights. So I've done that like 3 years in a row. And I just keep adding and adding and adding and adding. And now it's gotten to the point where it's no longer just for my daughter. My daughter looks at it as awesome, but she also realizes when the neighbors come over to me, hey, when you starting the lights, you know, you want us to come over and help and stuff like that. She realizes now there's a community to it. And now I'm actually doing it for more than just putting lights on the house to be stupid. You know, I'm the only one in the whole neighborhood that does it.
Well, that's the big thing, is setting the example, showing how to actually be. I mean, look at it. We've discussed it, I think, a time or two on this show as well, Mr. Pancake and I, about setting examples. Your kid sees what you do. If you come home and you sit on the couch and you don't play with the kids, you're focused on your phone, you show no energy, you're just low energy kind of a thing, sitting there doing nothing. I mean, the kids are going to do the same thing. They're going to ignore you. They're going to be on their phone. You need to show like big energy or something like that to be able to get your kids involved. Energy. Yeah, big dad energy. I mean, I know this is right up your alley. What do you think about this, or what's your thoughts?
Guys, I have a lot to say about this particular topic. Most of the time in my coaching, I meet guys who have become too tired, too busy, or too lack of whatever excuse to play with their children any longer. And guys, it's pathetic, but I'll say this. Energy is a choice, okay? Energy is a choice. Right, you must choose to tap into the section of your brain that allows energy to flow, and you have to begin eliminating things that take away your energy. Drinking alcohol is one of those things. Most men 40 years old and below have spent a cumulative amount of time drinking alcohol over the weekends. Come Monday morning or Tuesday afternoon, they're recovering. By Wednesday, they're feeling good again, so Thursday they can start the process all over again. Never in that gap of time do they have an opportunity to minister to their children, to bless their children, to encourage their children, to bring the energy to their children, or to jump on the trampoline or go for hikes or bike rides or walks or time in the creek or whatever the case may be. They're always too tired and they're always too busy to play with their children. And so you have to ask yourself, are they worth it? Why'd you have kids in the first place, brother? Why did you have kids in the first place if you were always going to be too tired to play with these kids? And so you, as a dad, especially, have to bring your big dad energy to the house, right? Credit Tyler Tott for this. He's my buddy, good friend of mine, Tyler, on Twitter. You guys see him, give him a shout. Dude, love that guy. But he's the one that came up with this phrase, the BDE, and it aligns so perfectly with my life mission for my family. I don't want to come in the door, kick off my boots, crack a beer, turn the TV on, and veg out for the rest of the night. If you are doing that as a dad, you might as well not have kids. I'm just going to be honest, right? You might as well not have kids because they're not adding to your life and you're not adding to theirs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys might hear that and be like, you don't know me, man. This is how I de-stress and this is how I unwind. Your kid is 5 and all they want you to do is color with them or play tea with them or go outside and run with them. And you're doom scrolling with your thumb, drinking beer with the TV on, right? It is my personal belief that a dad must bring enough energy to the home to create the atmosphere, right? Some point along the way, gentlemen, we became thermometers of our home. All we do is just register the temperature. Oh, it's hot in here. Oh, it's cold in here. Never anymore, rarely do we see thermostat dads, right? That are controlling the energy, controlling the effort, controlling the climate, right? Mm-hmm. Thermostats and thermometers. Energy, effort, and intentionality. But you got kids for a reason, and they're only going to ask so many times for your attention. You might as well say yes, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I look at that as, like, when dads do that, and men do that, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I have drinks, I drink, you know, but I don't power down so many where I'm like, you know, I'll have, like, a beer or two, you know, just socially hanging with the guys, you know, and that's it. You know, I'll drag it out, like my 2 beers for the night or 3 beers max for the night. I'll drag that out for like 5 hours. You know what I mean? So it doesn't even remotely affect me physically or mentally. You know what I mean? And I really only do it about 2 times a month, maybe, you know, whenever we just go hang out or whatever, just a kind of a de-stress or whatever. But the guys that have to, every weekend, the guys that can't, they cannot pull themselves out of that rut to let go of their phone and set it aside. They essentially, I look at it as a form of weakness. Like, you know, in a way, like, you know, I feel like going to you and be like, you're a sissy, you know, You're a little wuss. You're such a sissy boy and you're such a little baby that you can't step aside from your own wants and desires to, you know, take care of your kid and hang out, have fun. You know, you can't, your own, I guess your own sins or, yeah, your own addictions. You can't set your own addictions. And I used to look at drug addicts that way. You know, I have family members that are drug addicts. I realize now drugs are a little bit different. You know, it's kind of a chemical intoxication takes over your body. But this really isn't. You know, there's no chemical intoxication. You know, it's alcohol is, but at the moment, you know, prior to that, you had every inclination to say, no, you know what I mean? You were sober. You could have just said, not today. I have stuff to do with my kid. You know, you need to build your will, I guess, and stop being weak, you know, stop being a baby. And I used to be the biggest proponent of that. That was one of the biggest reasons why I got into this kind of scope, you know, because I was one of the worst, you know. So I took it upon myself to be like, no, I'm done with that.
You know, it's when it comes to, I kind of think, and again, I've spoken to a few people about drugs and alcohol and the addictions and such like that, just because of past things I've done. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy I've spoken with who wrote a book all about it. And in a conversation I had with him, the one thing that I remember is he talks about how a lot of addictions start with just that you're either trying to escape something, you're trying to, that instant, I feel good. And when you say that phone addiction or tech addiction is not chemical, it really is, because you're doing all of it so you get that dopamine trip, that kick of even adrenaline of, ooh, I'm excited because I'm watching this, or I get to go to work tomorrow and tell them what video I watched or whatever it might be. I mean, I share a video of my kid playing while I'm social media, so everyone thinks I'm great. They get that adrenaline or dopamine or whatever the internal, because all drugs are doing is taking your internal chemistry and manipulating it. That's what drugs and alcohol is doing. Right. And, you know, at first, when you first start drugs and you start building, you don't just instantly become addicted. As far as I can, you build that addiction up. And it's like any other addiction. Some are much worse than others, obviously. Don't get me wrong there.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to build it up, and it's kind of like being lazy. I mean, you don't just start off in life as lazy. I mean, look at it. My kids are running around, and I'm exhausted. There was a while back ago, I got almost literally a ton and a half of dirt delivered to my house and had 2 days to build a 56-foot planter and spread a ton and a half of dirt around a half acre and places where I need it to level it, fill the box, all this.
That's now, tiring.
I was exhausted, sunburnt, and just, I would have loved to lay on the floor and tell my kids to go watch TV. You know what I ended up having to do? I had to fight. I had to stop my kids from pushing my sunburn. I had to literally stop my daughter from pushing my son away because she was afraid he was hurting me, and then stop her from jumping on me, using me as a trampoline, all these things. And, you know, I wouldn't have traded anything. I'd rather have been tired and doing all that than tired and laying on the floor and recouping, because, you know, I only have so much time that they're going to want to be with me doing that kind of stuff. At some point, it's going to be, hey, Dad, can we go do this? And I'm going to enjoy that time. But the time that they're going to fight with me, the time they're going to, my daughter's going to be protective because she thinks her older brother's beating up on her dad, things like that. That's all going to come to an end. And there's
going
to be.
You want to know what I did this weekend.
Knowing you, I'm scared to even ask.
It is not an exciting time. The sink from the kitchen where the, what is that thing called? You put the food down and
the disposal?
Through. Yeah, that word. The disposal in the sink. I guess, I eat like 8 eggs every morning for breakfast. My wife eats like 4, you know, so we literally eat like a dozen eggs a day, you know, every single morning. Call us nuts, you know, whatever. But protein's important in the morning, so we smash eggs left and right. Combined with whatever else, somewhere along the lines, got caught over the years and built up. It didn't build up a clog, it built up a clog that was like this big. Oh, so yeah. I had to go buy a 50-foot snake and run that sucker through the whole tube. And it, I mean, I basically had to run it through, had to use the thing like this and waller it out. Then I had to pull it in and out, in and out, in and out. And it took me about 8.5 hours of doing that out in the hot sun. And I literally pulled like 3 or 4 full baseball sizes of eggshells out of inside of my pipe.
Why do you put eggshells in your disposal to begin with? Well, that's a conversation I'm going to have. You know, I'm going to have to offline have a conversation with you about proper disposal usage. I mean,
needless to say, all the pipes are connected. So I also got everyone else's daily use.
Oh, nice. So, Nate, let's dive into some get away from pipe talk, because obviously we're not a plumbing show, but let's dive into some of your stuff that you do, because I want to know a little more. Like you said, you talked about coaching. What is, like, who do you coach first off?
Primarily men. I don't delve much into the women's coaching because I don't know much about being a woman. So I help men. Yeah. I love it though. And it started out as just a fitness coaching because I believe a dad ought to be strong. I believe we ought to be able to yeet our kids well into the air and wrestle them to the ground and save them from burning buildings and defend as protectors of our family. There's a core element of men being strong. And over the years, this ideology has just kind of morphed into a training package, you know, a little coaching package that I put together. I called SRX 90. And it basically, what it does is I take 90 days and I take a dad and or a man, and I just say, for 90 days, I want you to run a certain set of disciplines. And if you're in the military, you kind of know how this runs. A strict set of standards that you do every single day develops character, fortitude, and tough, right? And when you entered basic training, right, you were wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, right? And you just, the world was a brand new oyster, and they begin to force feed you these disciplines, whether that be lack of sleep or when to eat or what to do or when to run. And all of these different elements forged you after the boot camp to be a certain individual that the military would say is qualified to be in a combat situation or a situation that requires these principles. So why do we stop that moving forward as men? We get nice jobs, we get houses, we get kids, we get the wife. We start a love affair with the remote control and go on our phone to get fat and happy, right? You lose every form of discipline that you originally had, even if you played sports as a young man. You have had disciplines, 2-a-days, right? Just to get ready for certain days of football. You did this and you were an athlete because of it. And so men, grown men, no longer carry disciplines that serve their mission. So I created 12 disciplines that I believe every man should master. And we run these 12 disciplines for 90 days. And the outcome of this, most men say, I realized that I wasn't giving any attention or credence to the disciplines of my mission, and I want to carry these going forward. So what ends up happening is these men, after 90 days, end up carrying on certain disciplines to later become the men that they want to be. I call it the man on fire. And the question starts as this: for your mission, for your life, for your standard, what are the steps that would make you the man on fire in those areas? And that answer would lead to several disciplines. For example, I want to be healthy for my kids. Okay, what is the daily step that involves? Exercise, walking, lifting weights, running, swimming. Your kids will not do what you don't do. And for some reason, we're like, we're a dad, we don't have to. I don't have to play sports. I don't have to run. I don't have to do things. I got a job. You want your kids to do those things? You ought to do them. Mm-hmm. Right. Plain and simple, right? Cannot tell your kid to make your bed if you don't make your bed. Okay. So answering that question, what will make you the man on fire in your business? All right. Are there steps that you need to take that would make you proficient in business? Are there steps that you would take? Do you want your kids to know about faith? You ought to know about faith. Do you want your kids to know about God? All right. Find out and teach him. Right. And it's all of these things that we want to be proficient at that we will pass on to our children. Fortitude, balance, servitude, stewardship, vision, character, friendship. All of these elements ought to be in a man's repertoire, his arsenal. Like when you're reaching into your quiver for an arrow, you're pulling out discipline. You're reaching in for another arrow, you're pulling out fortitude, and you're hitting targets with consistency on life mission. Basically stated, guys, you're not living by accident. You're not just be like, all right, life is what it is. We float through, we do what we want, raise kids, hope they turn out okay. No, you're intentional, right? That's what this coaching is built around, and that's what we do. I love it. It brings me a lot of life. I love seeing guys click in. I love seeing them turn their mission on, become the man on fire, stop living like a slump dumpkin, which is my term for men who have lost all drive for life, the slump dumpkin. And I love it.
Slump dumpkin. That is a new term for me. I mean, so it sounds like a lot of what you do personally is not just fitness, but also a mental setup of getting a man, not just a, because, you know, you talking about this made me think about something my wife said to me about how she noticed everybody that's in a higher position, somebody that's like a CEO or a CFO or whatever it might be, the people that actually hold a level of respect, the level of they worked hard to get there, they've, even if they've inherited the position, they've worked to keep it and to build from there. The one thing that she pointed out, it seems like a lot of the people she's noticed, and after she said it, I've noticed it too, is they tend to be people that work out more. They tend to be people that are more active. They're not just people sitting down. And, you know, that whole, the episode that's going to be out before our conversation here was with Ben Black. And the one thing that he mentioned was about building that legacy for your kids. You have to show your kids you have to teach them. And the best way to teach them is by being there and showing them and doing that. So if you're showing your kids, and this sounds like what you've stressed a lot in the little bit you just told me, if you're just sitting there doom scrolling and saying, go watch TV instead of going out. Like, I have rain boots that I throw on because even if it's raining out and my kids want to go out and play, if we get muddy, I have a washing machine. You know, I mean, I'd say it, if worst case scenario, I had to buy a new pair of pants or buy my kid a new pair of white pants because I forgot to change her out of them, because I've never done that. And she flops right into a mud puddle. You know, it's part of life. Kids' pants, kids' clothes can be replaced. And at worst case scenario, those are new pants to wear in muddy days. You have to show, you have to be present, you have to be involved. And it sounds like that's what you're teaching people to do, is get yourself disciplined, get yourself in shape, because if you're not in shape, you're going to be lazy. And if you're lazy, you're not going to be willing to do anything.
100%, dude. And you mentioned this, and you said your wife was astute in noticing that these entrepreneurs and business owners were healthy people. And we live in an age where we're seeing so many people on the internet show their business and show their profitability and show their podcast and show their effort. And listen, statistically speaking, the amount of people who are successful in life have a winning morning routine or a winning daily routine. Statistically speaking, the vast majority. So the question you as a dad would have to ask is, do you want your kids to be successful in this world? Then how are you going to follow these daily steps, to forge discipline, to be tough, to work out, to exercise, to be that type of person? You must instill daily steps. And we'll back this up even further. And you guys might know the actual number of this, but by the age of 5 years old, the majority of a child's information has already been consumed. Have you guys heard this statistic before? By the age of 5 years. And so we say, well, we're going to wait till they're 13 to start teaching them about life. We're going to wait till my son is a man before I'm going to start teaching him how to be a type of, it's too late. It's too late, right? And so if you want your kid, your child, to be an effective person in this world, a successful person, what are the daily steps that you must learn in order to teach your child those things? And I'll tell you, you know, it's not my fault, right? It's not my responsibility. My kids, all I got to do is get them to 18 and send them on. No.
Yeah, it is definitely your thing.
you know,
it is your responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I keep seeing a debate on back and forth, especially with homeschooling, is people talk about how the community is more responsible because your kids are going to learn from their friends and they're going to learn from all these outside factors and versus what you teach
them. That's why they smoke pot.
Well, see, that's also the thing is, it's, you know, I've mentioned this before. It's a phrase I've heard and I've repeated it multiple times is, depending on who you let your kids be around is who your kids are going to learn from. And when they're young, they're going to develop that understanding that, hey, this is the type of people that I need to be around. If you say, hey, go hang out with that kid. I don't care. I don't know anything about them, their family, whatever. And parents are just relinquishing their duties to whoever without taking the time to pay attention to who the, what influences their kids are taking in. Yeah, your kids, they form the majority of their way of learning by the age of five. They learn a lot, and they, it doesn't mean stop teaching them after 5 years old, obviously, but their methods of learning, their way of thinking starts really solidifying at that age, from what I understand. And if you're letting your kids run around with parents that say, oh, well, my kid does whatever they want. They want chocolate chips for breakfast. No, don't get me wrong. I put chocolate chips in my pancakes on Sunday morning, but it's Sunday morning and, well, I like chocolate chip pancakes. So we do chocolate chips, we do fruits, we do all sorts of stuff. But the fact is that's a rarity. That's a once a week thing.
Right.
You have that time where you can do something that's not healthy, but still fun and delicious. I think what you said as a family should be what your kids rely on. I mean, Nate, you want to pick up and let me know, because you look like you have something to say here.
I always have something to say. I want to say. Yes, I do believe you're absolutely correct and that your family standard is the flag you fly, 100%, right? The question is, what type of standard do you want that to be for the world, right? And I'm not saying that chocolate chip pancakes is going to deter your family's flag, right? That's fantastic. I'm not saying live as a robot or just, you know, completely go autonomous and don't have any fun and never let your kids make fun decisions. I'm not saying that at all, right? What I'm saying is your wife saw these people. She noticed an intricate design of their character attributed to success.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? How do you teach that? That's the question, right? And so my coaching and what I do with men is establishing these core set of principles. And so what I get them to do, the first thing that I get a father or a man to do is say, I want you to write a few statements, right? And these statements are your life goals, right? For example, guys, you know my faith is very important, right? I will be a man of faith. All right. Now, because I wrote this I will statement, what are the discipline points that are going to come with this statement? I'm going to probably read my Bible. I'm going to probably pray. I'm going to probably attend a church. Those three. All right. I want to be healthy. All right. Now write three action steps for this. I will every day fill in the blank, walk, run, lift, swim, jump, push, pull, whatever. Right. I will be an educated person. Therefore, every day I will read a book, study a podcast, listen to something inspirational. Right. I will not be a slump dumpkin, whatever you want to call it, whatever your I will statements. Therefore, I don't eat Cheetos and pound beers every day. Okay.
Right.
I will be an attentive, intentional man in everything I do, right? I won't waste time or other people's time. There are action steps for every goal that you place in your life. It doesn't mean you can't have chocolate chip pancakes, right? It just means we live on mission.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I put protein in some in my pancakes. So I put it in my daughter's pancakes and stuff. And, I like Aldi. I don't know if you've ever been to an Aldi. They're pretty good. You know, my dad thinks they're owned by Arabs, but I keep trying to explain to him Germans are not Arabs. They're from a different side of the world. Anyways, but they have a brand of pancake mix. And one of them, they have like regular, and then they have cinnamon or whatever. One of them is protein. And you read the back of it, and it's actually pretty high in protein. It's pretty good. So we usually get that for her. It's a box mix. You know, I mix it, and obviously I hand make a lot of my pancakes. So we'll do hand make sometimes, and we'll do the box sometimes. It just depends on the day. But if it's hand mix, I'll add the protein in. So she loves it. But, yeah, I'm agreed on a lot of that stuff. One of the things that I wanted to add is with the with men today, unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that we deal with and get put through kind of pushes our level of testosterone down in the toilet, such as types of foods you eat. You know, the doom scrolling that will actually deteriorate your testosterone and cause your body to stop, you know, slower development, because it's you're getting that dopamine response in your brain, so your brain's not telling you to flood your body with testosterone. And the other thing is, while you're sitting around not doing nothing, your body isn't using the current testosterone. So what a lot of people don't realize is there's two different types. There's, you know, there's your free, and then there's your active. And the free is what's flowing through your body, you know, and then your body makes testosterone, and puts it in your body. That's one type. And then there's free testosterone, which is the actual testosterone being used at the moment. If that free testosterone is never used, the active or being made testosterone never really makes more. So your testosterone levels just overall slow down. So I tell people all the time, so two things that can help you. Sometimes it does happen, you know, if you do get in a slump, to get out of it and try, if you mentally want to get out but can't find the will to get out, you know, maybe go check your testosterone at the doctor. You know, if you don't want to go get your testosterone checked at the doctor, unless you have an actual medical condition, I don't suggest getting on TRT or anything nuts like that. But if you don't really want to, just start doing small things, you know. One big proponent of testosterone killers is fat, sugar, and wheat, like wheaty foods, like breads and pastas and shenanigans. You'll need to stop it, just eat less, you know, overall. Just don't eat so much. And then the other thing I tell people, if you want to start, one thing that actually woke me up, it took about 2 weeks or so. One of the first things when I first started it, I was doing, you know, went to Google rabbit hole, of course. But I found a thing, you know, like 70% of your testosterone is stored in your thighs and your hamstrings. So one of the ways to kind of release that into your body and kind of flood your body with testosterone and get your body to start really making it more, every night before you go to bed, bend over, touch your toes 15 times every single night, and then go to bed, you know. And actually, as a couple of weeks go by, your body will start to make to replace what you are releasing and burning off and using. You know what I mean? It's not going to make you Arnold Schwarzenegger or nothing, but, you know, it'll at least make you kind of go from here to here, you know, for a second. So that was helpful for me.
That's true. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point here, and you take this man and his lack of testosterone and what he's up against in our world today. Absolutely. Right. And before I would counsel TRT, and I do believe that every man should get checked. And they should find out what their levels are, because you might be working from a deficit. But before you go and get the medication, that there's several things that you can do. Okay. And if bending over and touching your toes is one of those things, then absolutely. Take the average man. Right? 70% of his diet is trash, right? Mm-hmm. He's not sleeping well. He has sex less than once a week. He spends 4 hours plus a day on a screen or phone or computer. He drinks several alcoholic drinks a week, right? And all of a sudden, you have a recipe. And guys, we're not talking about like you stopping these things and becoming David Goggins or Jocko Willing, right? We're talking about the modern average man does this. This is what life looks like. No exercise, no activity, no forward motion, lack of sex, alcohol, trash diet, screen, right? This is why you have a testosterone problem. So before you go and get the shot and change none of the habits that contribute to low T, begin affecting some of those things. My program actually addresses this. I ask them in every day to get in cold water for 2 minutes and ease their natural free flow of testosterone, boost it, get into the shock state or fly to flight, put yourself in an adrenaline situation. And guys, if I asked a dude to run a 5K right now, he'd have a heart attack. His heart rate would go to 185. He'd go to flight or flight, but he'd also die, right? Men have stopped putting themselves in the situation to release free flow testosterone, right? Put yourself in fight or flight scenario, right? Run until your heart is hurting. Lift weights until your sweat is pumping. Have sex. Eat good food, natural food, right? Get off the screen. Go outside. Let your sun, your skin be hit by the sun, right? Do things to free up the test. And then if you're still low, go get the test shot, right?
Right. Yeah.
Let me add something here, because the one thing you said about is only having sex once in a great while kind of a thing. Now, most men are not going to turn down sex if they get the opportunity with their wives. Now, one thing that has been made very clear from studies, from women's interviews, all these different things, is if you're just sitting on the couch and being a big blob and not basically doing anything, do you really think your wife's going to look at you and go, wow, that's a sexy specimen? No, but if you're playing with your kids, if you're exercising, keeping yourself in, you don't, like Mr. Pancake says, you're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but in a good shape where you actually look attractive to your wife. And, you know, here's the other thing is, if you want your wife to be attractive to you, you have to be the leader of your family, start doing something, and then your wife will say, well, he has the time to exercise. Why don't I take the time to do so? And then as a family, you're setting the example for your wife to follow, then your children will follow, and then everybody will kind of come together, and that will, you can exercise with your children. My son, when I exercise at night, I do a home program, no weights, all this. And without my knowledge, in the middle of a exercise, I get 50 pounds thrown on my back and the command to say, yeehaw, you know. So push-ups become very hard with all of a sudden 50 pounds thrown on your back. But
yeah.
That whole thing of is he sees me doing it, and as he every now and then will interact, but it's that setting the example. And my wife sees it, and I can promise you my wife's looking at me more happily, I'll put it that way, if I'm interacting with the kids and if I'm working out and I'm not just sitting there, being a bump on the log, being that guy doom scrolling going, hey, let me, I'm too busy. Yeah. And my busy is I'm reading what somebody posted on social media so I can make a comment, you know?
Isn't that like the natural order of things anyways? You know, I mean, you with the kids, playing with the kids and you being strong, I mean, that's naturally going to make the woman want to have more, breed more. So she's going to get that feeling. You know,
I don't know if I'd go with the word breeding more, but.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, it is. It's the natural order.
It is. It's
the natural state of women versus men. You know, men have a physical attraction to women for the most part, whereas women have more of an emotional, you know, style attraction. So,
dude, you guys spend a lot of time on the internet, right? So you guys see a lot of reels and Instagram and stuff like that. And so I've seen this trend recently where, you know, it'd be like a woman and a guy sitting at a table or something like that. And it's about splitting the check or whatever. And he'd be like, the lady will come up and say, you want one check or two? And he'll look over at her and be like, you're going to let me get lucky tonight? She'd be like, no. And he'd be like, two checks, right? And dude, I see so much of this, right? Where the dude, the man, the husband, is now looking at this woman and be like, you're going to let me get lucky tonight?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck, bro? What the heck kind of ideology have we slipped into when a man's be like, you're going to let me get lucky? And listen, I'm not advocating rape here. Listen, don't get me sideways. This whole slip, we're down to once a week having sex, like, you're gonna let me get lucky tonight? No, dude, turn yourself into a man, right? Turn yourself into the type of person that elicits sexual desire. Quit being a slump dumpkin and you won't call it getting lucky anymore, right? And dude, I joke with so many people about this, and dude, I do not have a perfect marriage. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying God's blessed me with a great woman. But part of my marital contract is three square meals a day and a piece of booty at night. And I joke about that because maritally speaking, this is what we're in this for, right? Bible even says this, don't withhold what is due to your spouse as a man, as a woman. Don't sit there and withhold. Become the man that you were made to be. Quit being a slump dumpkin and marriage will eventually work out, right? Give some effort, give some energy, dude. You're fat, lazy, and out of shape, dude. You've wasted your time. You've wasted your effort. You wasted your energy. But guess what? Hope is not lost. You can get back on the game. You can get back on training. You can make it what you want it to be. Effort and intention across every realm that a man touches, and he will be successful.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, with that note, I think it's a good time to stop there because we can, you know, the great thing about the people we talk to is literally we could go on for hours and hours and just rant and. The problem is we're not Joe Rogan, so no one's going to listen to us for 4 to 6 hours. So with that, Nate, tell people where they can find you, where they can reach out to you so they can get your consulting, so they can follow you to be able to get insights and what so have you.
Yeah, @_NateNorman on all of the socials. And you'll find my links for coaching in my bios on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, X now, whatever, Facebook. All that stuff. I'm there. Happy to reach out, have conversations. And guys, I do want to preface this before I go. When I say that somebody's, you know, fat and out of shape, lazy, I don't mean that as a condemnation. I mean that as sometimes there's enough negative reinforcement to motivate change. And so I say that with the idea that there is hope. You are not dead. God's not done. You have opportunity. You have breath in your lungs and you still have life in you to move forward. So I don't say that with hatred. I say that with hope.
You know, I'm going to say one last thing with on that note as well is, you know, with today's world making fat being a good thing, and it's bad for us to point out, Nate saying you're fat and lazy, you need to get up. It's something that we need to hear, because if no one's telling you that you're being lazy and fat and you're not being attracted to your wife, then basically you're going to keep listening to society telling you being fat and lazy is good and all your desires are just in your head and bad. No, you have desires for a reason. Take the steps, contact Nate, get your life on track, be a better person, be a better man, be a better dad. Mr. Pancake, where do you want people to reach out to you at?
As you guys know, you can always reach out to me on my website, www.pancakeswithdad.com. There is a contact page as well as a link to all of my socials, Instagram, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Truth Social. You can reach out to me in any one of those, comment on something or try to send me a message if the social will let you. If not, just go to the website. It's fairly easy. Don't forget about subscribing to the newsletter. You get a free coloring book. And we do have our first course in the courses section. It is kind of a LinkedIn self-help course. If you're looking to like better your career or maybe use LinkedIn as for more of a business model, just jump on the course, take it. It'll kind of help you along in learning how to access LinkedIn's algorithms and secrets to benefit you better, so you can have more views, more eyes on your socials. And some of those ideas can be applied to other ones like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. So check it out.
And with that, I believe the course is under $20, so it's somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was.
Your newsletter.
It was $10. I think I removed the $10. I think it's free now.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, might as well.
And then your newsletter gives a coloring book. So as I've mentioned before, I have that coloring book. I printed multiple times for my kids to color. Worth the emails to get it. Plus you get great information from pancakeswithyourdad.com. Now for us, Call with Dads, you can find the YouTube shows there. You can find our audio there. You can find the articles that go with these podcasts there, which are going to be linked in the show notes as well, like this show. You can find Nate's links in the show notes along with our affiliate links. So Lords of X, there's Leonardo AI, which we use quite a bit. And there's Sherwood Entertainment, Time for Learning, which is the program I personally use right now for my son's homeschooling. So these are things that we believe in, that we promote for a reason. We don't just take any affiliate that we can find. We want people that are going to benefit you as a man, as a father, or if a mother's listening to this to get more information to kick her husband in gear, you can use these things as well. So whoever you are, these are meant as people that we believe in that's going to be beneficial. And we like to have guests on that we think is going to give you information that's going to help you, like Nate here. And as we tell every one of our guests, if we agree with them or not, we want the best information for the people listening so that they get all the options to know how to raise their kids the best way they can. Nate, thank you for being here. I want you to hold on for me just for a moment, and we're going to talk a little bit more, but this is the end for everyone else.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate y'all.